When you're drinking, stay away from the chainsaw.
Yeah.
It's not chainsaw time.
That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking.
Welcome to That's the Drink Talking. You're in the bar with your bartenders, Harley Breen and DQ David Quirk.
Hello, team.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hello, drinkers or non-drinkers. I don't know how many non-drinkers are tuning in.
I guess we might never know.
We may never find out
actual
stats on the consumption habits of our listeners.
Yeah, there's really no way of knowing that you mentioned that, unless you want to email us, fax us.
Yeah, you can fax truths. In.
Yeah.
Fax in.
Yeah, the no number, but yeah. Just try it. Get to us.
If you can find a fax machine, plug a bit of paper into it and press send.
Good.
That's how it works.
Harley, so
yes.
I've been with you about an hour or so this morning.
Yes.
I've eaten a tiny bit of food.
You've had a tiny...
It's only just gone after midday. We're doing an earlier record.
Yes.
And have you had anything to drink yet?
No, I have not yet touched a drink.
That's good, I think.
But you and I did touch a few last night.
We did touch cloth.
You had a gig and I did not.
We were down.
I had no place being out.
Well, that's sort of a bit true, isn't it, as a comic?
Well,
you don't really want to be at a gig unless you're on.
Yes, but the gig was just around the corner from my house and so I was...
Yeah, and it was a really good night. And
it was a cracking night.
I bet you... I'm going to... guess you wouldn't have gone had I not been on.
No, I wouldn't.
Probably,
have.
Yeah.
No.
So that's, and I would go for you too,
oh,
if
thanks.
I live nearby.
Hey, that thanks, I buddy. No, you don't. Well, I'll get a gig around the corner from your house.
Let's do it.
And we'll see if you're talking the truth.
That's it. Well, time will tell.
But you did a great gig, and after your spot, you joined me at the back where the reprobates hang out. And I glanced over at you and you had a very big glass of very dark beer.
Mm.
And I went, oh, okay, that's. I wonder what's going on there. I'll go and order what David's got because you didn't know what it was called.
I didn't know. I just knew because I couldn't. I ordered it twice and the man, I couldn't hear him over the comedy, weirdly. Or maybe it was during the break and it was over music. But
it was a Caribbean stout.
It was a Caribbean stout. And you just thought it was sea?
Or Caribbean.
Caribbean. Depending on, I don't know what to write
which
there.
Country you're from.
Is that right?
I guess.
Caribbean.
I'd say Caribbean and the Americans would say Caribbean.
I don't know if that's true, but hey, let's work with it.
It's not the facts.
No, it was a delicious beer by The Filter, who I'd love to meet these people. The Filter, that's with a PH, P-H-I-L-T-R.
And it was delicious. However, it was a hearty 7%, and I don't feel like we're at the right end of the night to be sort of drinking pints of that volume alcohol.
Well, that's what's so amazing.
Quite quickly.
I drank two,
yes,
didn't I?
Maybe quite quickly.
After my gig, I was adrenalized. I had stage rage.
Yes.
And you couldn't even really get through one whole pint. I've never seen you be so weak.
No, I did puss out.
Don't you... No, not puss. Puss? Edit that out. Keep that in.
Change nothing. Do it. Look, it was a lovely beer, but I did want another beer and I was, I'm not getting to the end of this.
Something you want, easy drinking.
Yeah, I wanted an easy drinking beer. And then I was just sitting having a chat with, I can't even remember who, and you just appeared with two shots of whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were teenagers.
Sorry about that. I guess I was just excited. It was good to see you. I didn't know when I'd see you again. And I just thought, well, and so I said to the dude, the barman, Stefan, I said, I know this is dumb and I know the bar's pretty much closed, but should we just, I just feel like I want to get Harley. His back's turned. He doesn't know I'm here. What about, I mean, I feel like I should get him tequila. It's so wrong. It's a Monday night and there's nothing going on. Nothing to celebrate. But he said, what about a, what did he call it? The what's it called? A hospo knockoff, I think he called
a
it.
A hospo knockoff.
Yes. And I said, what is it? He said, it's just a shot of Jameson's.
Mm.
And I said, that's ideal. Still wrong, but it's ideal.
It's better than tequila though. I feel like it's slightly more sophisticated to have a shot of whiskey. It's slightly more, there's something more... grown man about it.
It's less elating, isn't it? So you can sort of,
yeah. So we did that and then I wandered home. I had a late night kebab, which is a choice I wouldn't have made sober, and then had another beer when I got home because clearly needed some more.
Clearly Monday night.
You know what? I woke up fresh.
He did. He woke up at 6 a.m. with child.
Yeah, with child. Yeah.
Good on you, Harley. Well, look, you look fresh and it's good to be back here at the SB today.
Let's get into a drink, though, for this episode.
Well, the sun is out, isn't it? And that's what's inspired this. And it's also a flavour or even a whole style of drink we've not even had on this podcast, isn't it?
So I feel like when the sun's come out, it's cider time.
I don't, but you've been to England, haven't you?
Well,
they don't mind it there.
The sun connects me with cider, but I actually don't like cider very much. I find a lot of ciders to be very sweet, a little bit sickly, and I'm not into it. However, this particular cider, which is from Cider Ways, which is a brewery in brewed and bottled in Australia for Dollar Bill Brewing in Ballarat, just up the road from us. So Dollar Bill Brewing is them, and this is Ciderways Smith and Cripps, and it's a hopped cider.
Smith and Cripps?
Yeah.
Is that a reference to the gangs? Oh.
Pop the top.
The LA gangs?
It's got a picture of a goat on the front.
And it's in like an American dollar bill.
Yes.
Style.
And it's wild fermented cider made from a blend of Granny Smith, Cripps Pink Lady apples and Packham pears, dry hopped during primary with New World NZ hops and matured in French Berex.
Goodness gracious. What
there's a lot going on.
That's the first thing you've read all day, isn't it?
It hasn't gone well. Yeah, it hasn't gone well.
No, but there's a lot going on. Wild fermentation. Do you know much about that?
No.
Well, there's a man. No, I don't. There's a man that started it. He's like the. Anyway, doesn't matter. His name is. Oh.
I'm pouring this hopped cider. Is probably just as simple. I could just refer to it. Drink the liquid out of that.
What's in there? The ice
has melted a bit. You don't need watered down cider at this stage of the proceedings.
Of my life. Okay, so thank you. Harley's pouring me up. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, do you know
cheers
why they invented the cheers, where that came from?
They invented it?
No, you know, don't you? Do you want to tell the... Have we already talked about this yet? Have we or not?
Get that around your laughing gear.
Harley, you're not helping me.
So I believe the cheers come from some kind of medieval practice where they would cheers very heartily. They'd smash glasses together and swap the liquid from one into the other, therefore proving no one's drink had been poisoned.
That's right. Trust. It was a trust thing.
Unless one had, and then they were both dead, weren't they?
That's it. Well, maybe, true.
That's how it was.
What a great fact. That's an early fact.
That's an early fact.
Cheers again.
Cheers.
I trust you.
What do you think of that? If you're not a cider drinker.
It's far more bitter and true. Mm. You know, it's not, it's the other end of the scale of your Recorderligs.
Recorderligs, basically it's cordial.
Mm.
It's not a proper cider.
Delicious for about cordial. 10 seconds.
Ooh, then it makes you feel like punching your friend in the face.
That's actually... it's nice. It's not even, I don't know. It's good.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
You'd have another one of those, wouldn't you?
I actually could drink that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
And I think on the back of our evening last night, we needed something nice and up and crisp, very much like our guest today on the podcast.
He's up and crisp.
He's up and crisp, isn't he?
Yes.
I'm quite excited to have him in. It seems to be a running theme for both of us. We just get people that we truly love drinking with. And this guy is definitely one of those. I've done a lot of touring with him, as have you.
Lucky.
And he's quite the wine expert because he has a show all about it. I'll let him talk to you about it. It is Damien Callinan. Great mate of both of ours, fantastic comedian, star and writer of one of my absolute favourite Australian movies, The Merger.
Yep.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, awkward.
You did tell me that last night, awkward. And you said,
"Don't throw me under the bus about that."
And I genuinely, until that moment, had forgotten.
You're an idiot.
I drank so much it affected my hippocampus.
I never made it out to the cinemas yet.
Yeah,
I will see it. I've heard so much good stuff, of course.
Yeah, there's heaps of ways you can see it.
Yeah, is it?
It really is.
Is there?
Yeah,
it's a cracking movie, mate.
I could just hand you my phone. Yeah, you could see it.
Just really, on your phone.
Take 90 minutes out and just quickly knock it out.
Yeah, I'll watch it with you at some point.
Please, like a director's cut.
Yeah, but not, like I'll be outside your window.
Just going, I'll wait for this bit.
Yeah.
This bit's good.
I'll know, just so I know that you, in case you paused.
No, but it is a bit sad that I haven't seen it, because a lot of people that I know and love were cast in, apart from your good self.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of wonderful people.
You're Nick Cody, who's been on this.
It is true. Look, we're all so prolific as artists, Harley, yourself, that we can't possibly tend to everyone's vast catalogue.
No, you can't.
That is so the most diplomatic thing.
I'm not sitting in judgment of you, because a lot of things I haven't seen that I'm guilty about too.
Well, you know that at festival times around the country, around the world, you have that little dance you do around other artists. Oh, I'm really trying to see your show.
Yeah.
I cut that shit out about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not coming.
Have you been going 10 years?
No, 20 now.
20. Wow.
Thanks.
So you cut it out 10 years ago. You worked it out 10.
I just stopped lying. Like, if I see your show, I'll tell you after the fact. I won't tell you I'm coming.
But now do you have a blanket rule? I do not see anyone. No.
I just don't do the dance.
Well, there is that. There's the question. Yeah, the dance is, what time are you on?
Yes. Oh, I can't.
No, I can't.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
Before they answer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm doing 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah. I've got something.
What have you got on?
Something at 2:45.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. There is a dance.
But more in line with this podcast in terms of the subject matter, you have a live show that I feel like when I look at it on social media, you've been touring for a decade. It seems to have been going on for quite a long time, which you're just about to head off on the road again.
Indeed,
which is called The Wine Bluffs. Very in line with this.
The Wine Bluffs is a show I do with Paul Collegia. Mm-hmm. Similarly, we got sick of saying, what time are you on? We just thought we'd do a show together so we could see it.
Yeah,
it has been going a long time, and the beauty of this show is that it's quite accidental. He got asked to do a gig in a winery during the Yarra Valley Grape Grazing Festival and didn't want to do it on his own. Basically, they said, we want 3 15-minute spots. You're going to do it in the wool shed, and literally a wool shed, heritage-listed wool shed on their property. And we had so much fun. By the time we did the third iteration during the day, it was 45 minutes. And we sat down to write the show. I just put my phone down and we recorded us drinking two bottles of Yarra Yering Pinot Noir. And then I had to transcribe the shit that we spoke the next day, which was interesting. He was a fair way away from the microphones. It was mainly me.
Great.
To be honest.
Wow.
So that's what the show is now. Yeah. It's just mainly you. Me.
Yeah. He's well off mic.
Yeah. Clinch is often not on stage. He's just in the dressing room.
He's at home.
Yelling out stuff and me transcribing it.
And where'd you get where's the name come from?
We had a few names. Puppetry of the Pinot.
Very good.
That'll probably be our sequel.
Yeah.
Collegia came up with it. We were just having a battle in bed. It was just called like the comedy wine show to begin with, because it didn't start like a normal show. It didn't start with a festival where we went, all right, let's aim for that. It just kind of evolved. So we decided we needed a brand, and it sums it up really, because it's instantly. In fact, we often get people will just self-correct it in marketing, which is really annoying. Just calls it the Wine Buffs, which just makes it sound like the wankers that we're destroying.
Yeah.
Why do people have to correct things?
I know.
Actually, before we get too deep into this, because in all of the touring I've done with you, we go, usually you arrive in a country town, you lay eyes on the theatre, you get to the hotel, then you go to the bottle-o to prepare for after the show. Mm. I would always grab beers, and you mostly would always grab a rosé, in my experience
touring
with
you. He's telling me that's true.
Yeah. It was quite often.
Quite often, yeah. I might have been going through a rosé phase at that stage. Yeah, in summer, yeah.
But I know you're not drinking at the moment because you got a dicky ticker.
Yeah.
You had a heart attack.
Went and had a bloody heart attack. Well, this happened in the middle of the tour, and that's why the tour seems to be going forever, because we had to postpone half the tour.
That makes more sense.
The show hasn't been going for quite a while, but anyway... So the next bit's about to start. But, yeah, look, it's a fairly hedonistic show.
Sure.
The Wine Blast. Like, we tour and we drink.
Yeah.
But this show, we drink all the way through it, and I start by sculling an entire Riddell wine glass.
Right.
Which is very big.
Of red?
Of red.
Wow.
That's quite a lot of wine.
It's quite a lot of wine. And it's not. It's
the
not
art of sculling red wine is a real skill.
I found it so easy. That was the problem.
Did you?
So... And the other thing is, Kalija's not really a tourer like us as much. He Kalija mainly works in the kind of comedy writing.
Not as road hard.
No.
But the fact is, though, on tour he was like party time, and he wanted to start drinking like immediately.
ASAP, yeah.
In a show where we already drink, and after the first weekend of this most recent tour, we've done plenty of festivals together. I was like, mate, we've got to bloody pull the brakes on this. Like, we're hitting showtime 8 deep.
Yeah.
And you can't speak straight.
Yeah. Like,
you should have called it, that's the drink talking.
Indeed. So the first weekend I said to him, man, I'm not going to drink before the show. And he went, I will. Still.
Don't worry about that.
Solidarity,
fine.
Brother.
Fine.
Right.
In fact, the great thing is, because I spoke to him the other day about the upcoming tour, and I'm just on a – I did have a heart attack in the middle of this process and decided
– Yes.
I've got to say, I'm glad you're still here.
Oh, thanks. So am I.
Good on you.
Yeah. But I think when something like that happens, it was completely out of the blue. I had no pre-warning.
You're feeling fine up to that
feeling
point.
Feeling fine, playing indoor cricket, batting exceptionally well,
good.
To be honest, David. Yeah, I was smacking
an
understrength, youthful attack to all corners. Well, it was 8-4 corners on indoor cricket court, what I'm talking about, to some of the corners.
Yeah.
And started to feel lightness of breath and constriction of the chest and kept batting.
Oh, you're right.
Finished my 4 overs.
Well, you're not an idiot.
You're a man.
Toward the last couple of balls, I was struggling a bit.
Because you don't think this is a heart attack, do you?
No,
I imagine.
No.
Yeah.
I was struggling a bit, but I also knew that we were almost 50.
I feel a bit light in my chest just hearing this.
Almost 50, which is the holy grail of a partnership in indoor cricket.
Yes.
And I hit a single on the last ball, leg glance. I mean, I only made 49, so I was shattered. But, turned out I had a blocked, entirely blocked right coronary artery.
So did you go down or you just...
No, I just walked out and sat there for a bit and thought hopefully not running might make...
This pain.
The pain go away, and it didn't. So I went to talk to the rest of the team and I couldn't speak initially.
Yeah, you know it's not a good sign, is it?
No, it wasn't. That was just I don't want to make a fuss. I can't speak.
Yes, right.
And then eventually I went, no, there's something serious going on here. And I blathered it out like Jaime from Get Smart. Just, I've got lightness of breathing and a head lightness, and I believe I've got chest constriction. I've not felt these things before.
And the men that you're with, are they around your same age?
Yeah.
So they all took it seriously?
Yeah, probably.
Because they're all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all around the same age, a bit older. So, yeah, we went straight to the Footscray Hospital. I got dropped off at the wrong entrance. This is all going to be in my my show at next year's Comedy Festival.
You had to run around.
We had to go. We found that there was a doctor smoking outside the other entrance, which was locked. But he passed us in, just said, follow the red line. So he had to follow the red line through. And I'm not convinced that the casualty is in the same suburb as the main entrance. It took forever.
In Footscray.
Well, listen, in tribute to you, because you're off the source as a result of your heart attack.
Not permanently, but it's been over four months, and I'm actually feeling incredibly well.
Well, I've ordered David and myself a glass of rosé here from the Esplanade Hotel, and it is, as it reads on the menu, this is all I know about it, a Sempervino Rosé 2018 from McLaren Vale, South Australia. Cheers, go to that. Harley, what do you reckon?
Cheers.
I'm going to have a sip of Quirks.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know what I like about this podcast? We get heart attack victims back on the grog.
Okay.
What do you think?
What are your thoughts? I like it.
It's kind of demi-dry. It's kind of in the middle.
Demi-dry?
Yeah.
Like Thor?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of got one limp wrist and one rigid.
Well, he's a demigod, isn't he?
Yeah. Ah, right.
I'm not familiar with Sempervino, to be honest, but it does sound like they've just put two grapes together and gone. But McLaren Vale will do that.
They'll just smash two words together.
Yeah, they'll just go, we're going to make a Semillon Shiraz and just call it a Semiraz.
Are they leading the way or are they having a lend?
I quite like it. It can be a bit hit and miss. There's one winery there called Alpha Box and Dice, and they will literally do anything. They'll, if you say, I want, if you do anything with like ball sack dipped in it, they'll have it.
Well, they'll try
they'll
it.
Have it and they'll try it.
Yeah,
or they'll good. Have it the next time you go there.
Ooh, what a bit of ball sack wine.
We'll have that on next time. We'll be consuming that. I've got just a question. Just off the top of my head, thinking about wineries, Damien, and to a sort of a wine lover like yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a vegan.
Yes.
I have the vegan persuasion. And it's hard to find see, this might not even be vegan, what I'm drinking here, but it probably is. But someone said to me, no, no wine. Do you know how many orb spiders is in every glass of wine?
Oh, okay.
And
oh.
I said, what are you, like just the, literally it wasn't just any spider, it was orb spiders. They're all just harvested up with all the grapes and leaves.
Not to get bogged down in veganism, nothing then is vegan.
I love.
Like literally nothing. Some creature has died to produce anything.
Oh, no, I don't want to get into a discussion about the ethics, but I just think maybe.
I mean, the orb spider.
I don't mind an orb spider.
To be honest, Alpha Box and Dice do an orb spider.
A great orb spider.
Creature.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm going to buy the next.
As long as you know what you're drinking.
Yeah.
We don't really know what we're drinking.
Someone call in, tell me how many orb spiders go into.
Get on the fax machine.
Yeah.
Send it in. But
I did have a sip of that, and it's all right. Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not giving me heartburn, which is always a good sign for a wine with me.
Yeah,
if it doesn't give me heartburn, well, oh, yeah, there you go. It must be low on sulfates, is what I'm told.
You're going to complain about your heart too, are you?
Yeah, I've got reflux.
Oh, shit.
To be honest, I feel a bit sorry for wine at the moment in my life because it's not its fault entirely that I had a heart attack.
Of course it's not.
Like I just went, when you have to. Appraise your lifestyle quite suddenly and I've got, coronary heart issues at this age, you have to make some, harsh calls. So I feel like wine is like my best mate who I've just stopped calling.
Yeah, that's hard.
And I'm actually okay with it at the moment. Like it's going to be weird. I have to drink faint wine. I've just made an ambit corn game. I'm not going to drink till, for 6 months.
Yeah, get some Maison.
Yeah, like cheese. Cheese and wine are both going, why has he stopped calling?
Where's he gone?
We had a really good thing, guy.
Yeah.
Well, can I tempt you back onto the drink with some Feigling?
Feigling?
We found this at the bar. We found this at the counter down at Ackland Cellars, and it's from Kleiner. It's called Feigling, which is a fig liqueur.
It's German.
It's German.
Mm. It's fig liqueur, yeah.
Yeah, and Feigling, have a stab at what you think Feigling means. I mean, considering it's a fig liqueur, it must be a play on the word fig.
I think it means, fisting.
Not quite.
Feasting.
No, neither.
No.
No.
It means coward.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
So I'm not sure whether you're a coward to drink it.
Is that because of the size of it?
Well, it comes in a big one as well. That's just a little shot type thing. This is tiny. If you're listening, it's, would fit in your palm easily.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I've managed to fit that in the eye of my penis. That's quite small.
It is.
Well, I feel like Marty McFly when someone calls me coward.
Yeah, Feigling.
So I was like, well, I'm getting
chicken,
on it.
Chicken.
So I'll have a go at it.
You can have a crack now.
While we drink this little shot of Feigling for the first time in our lives, what was your very first drink in your drinking experience? When, why and how?
First drink would have been, undoubtedly, because I used to go to wineries a lot with my family as a child.
That is disgusting. Sorry, Damien.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Is not you going to the winery. That Feigling is.
I read it in your face.
It's not for everyone. So
it's just for cowards. You've just passed the test, you guys.
Yep.
You're not cowards.
I'm not a coward.
Yeah.
Can't drink
it. If you had gone, I would have gone. Oh, I question your virility, sir.
I don't mind it.
You were going to.
First drink was as a child. Probably under 10, to be honest. We went to wineries a lot. Dad discovered wine around the time of the first Australian wine renaissance in the 1970s. We'd go to cellar doors in Rutherglen and places like that.
Oh, right.
And it was pretty loose in those days and, it was a fairly uncontrolled environment and the pours were pretty big. So Dad or Mum would just leave their glass to the side when I was switching from red to white and I would drink it. I was very good. Very good at doing it without being seen. But eventually I was seen.
Under 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably.
And you didn't
just
mind
punch in a bit of wine.
I quite liked it.
That strong flavour.
Yeah, well, Dad always used to go, if I'd push and ask for a taste he'd, at home, he'd say, oh, yeah, have a little.
Yeah.
So your dad was a wine drinker.
But I was just like finishing off. I was just polishing off the end. But I'd been. My brother came on holidays with us to McLaren Vale. I remember being at Seaview, and that's where Chris, my brother, sprung me, just knocking it off. And he told Dad, and so they had a close look. And that was the time that I started collecting. So collecting wine labels as a hobby.
Wow.
That
wow.
Became, instead of knocking off wine, they'd say, right, we'll ask for some wine. Labels for you.
So you're really not putting it on.
This is a lived deal. When I was a kid, like I had, like we went to, we only went to hot wineries for holidays. I didn't know we had a coastline until I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, no wineries on the
well, apart from McLaren Vale. And, yeah. And then when I saw the water in the distance, I asked Dad what it was and he just said it was grape rot. We're not going down there.
So you really have inherited probably through the genes almost, like a love for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was your dad's heart?
Apparently, I didn't even know this because, you know, when you get old, Dad passed away about 2 years ago. He had a couple of stents put in, but like late, you know. He would have known. He just forgot because there was a lot going wrong in those last days. It was an old car getting everything replaced.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There weren't many original bits left. He was no fogling. He kicked on.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that was first drink. First drunk was, I reckon I was in year 11.
Oh, yeah. And, 16.
Yeah. And my mate's sister, who was a couple of years older than him, was having her 18th in the garage and his folks were away. And it was the first time I'd been in like an uncontrolled environment where, and his older brother was there and he was at Dookie Ag College and they were hardcore. There was just a lot of alcohol around. And I remember when the speeches were happening down in the garage, just Pete and I going through the cupboards where we'd seen people stash stuff and we were just drinking anything.
Yes.
And we were also his younger brother, who was about 13, he was drinking as well. And there were people there kind of like saying, you guys got to look after him because they'd seen us drinking. I'm going, I can't
look after
myself. I remember after I'd been given this speech by these probable adults, maybe 18, 19-year-olds, I remember getting up out of the chair and the whole room tilted like upside down and I just pinballed through the room and went and did blue vomit in bed.
Oh, you had some Voc.
Yeah.
Had you some Voc?
I think it was Voc.
It's the worst kind of drunk, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think I've ever, and maybe both of you would agree with this, been as horribly drunk as I was as a teenager. I've certainly consumed more alcohol in one sitting, but it's a horrible kind of drunk because you're just putting it all in.
It's yeah.
Whatever you can get in.
And you don't know.
No, yeah. You don't know.
You're just putting it in. We were putting it in fast because because the speeches were wrapping up. Yeah.
You've got to get drunk.
One of us is on a stool just reaching in the corner to find some yellow Curacao or some beers. Were just horrible things were going in. Anyway. So
did you ever have a frog stomp?
What it is?
A frog stomp shot, which was a shot of Maduri. It's already bad.
Is that where Silverchair got the name for the album, Frog Stomp?
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah, right.
No, sorry, it wasn't called a frog stomp. It was called a squashed frog.
Oh, well, come on.
You know, but, you know, if you stomp on a frog, you're going to squash it. A shot of Maduri, and then you'd pour into the middle over the back of a spoon so it would suspend in the middle of the Maduri, both yellow and red Voc.
Oh,
so it looked like guts and
right, and it would mix up.
It would sit there, sort of suspended inside the Maduri.
Sounds grim.
It was exactly that. It was grim. It was a horrible.
It was
drink.
Called squashed frog.
Yeah.
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 No, I haven't had one.
No.
We'll get
one after.
I'm a fogling on that score.
When you've travelled overseas, Sam, have you ever had a snake bite?
Mm.
No.
That's is have that you heard? In London?
Yes. I was always told it was called a snake bite in black, but it was just by one mate, and every poem goes, no, it's just called a snake bite. Have you not heard of this drink?
I've heard of it, but I couldn't tell you
what's in it. It's a disgraceful drink, apparently because of how people behave after it.
Right.
But all it is it's a pint, it's a half pint of beer, a half pint of cider with a shot of grenadine.
Raspberry. I think raspberry.
Yeah, that's grenadine.
So it's red. This is red pint, basically, and it's Aussies drink it. A certain kind of Aussie.
And they had to ban it because everyone went crazy.
Young Aussies.
In a pint glass.
In a pint glass.
Yeah, right.
It's different to the wine world.
There's snake, it's well, not, there's it's snake not a, wine.
You know, is there?
You know about snake no. wine? So in China, they put basically venomous snakes into this. I'm assuming it's more of a liqueur than a wine, but I know it is snake wine. A mate of mine who runs a winery in the Adelaide Hills, Longview, he and his brother were constantly going over to China for business, and there's a bit of a thing in China about like testing out the foreigners
on random poisons.
On random poisons.
Like tiger penis. Yeah.
And he and his brother were like they knew what was coming. They were like beforehand just going, we know this is going to happen. We're going to get asked to drink it. We're going to look after each other. And then he said, within 20 minutes, his brother was insane and was just like trying to pull, organs out through. He's just going, stop, help me, hold me.
Just after a bit of snake wine.
And Mark said him. So he himself was just like, you know, basically just only just touching the surface
holding on
but
to
his
the
brother, earth. But his brother had just completely turned into another human being.
Well, you've heard it here first. That's the drink talking. We'll be doing live shows out of China.
Yeah. The snake wine
first
episode.
First road trip, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, food cat, who cares?
Let's get into a quirky fact.
Yes.
Just a fact about alcohol that I will probably not know. You may know, Damien, but it may also just be an anecdote.
It can vary these.
It can vary these
factoids. Okay. But yeah. I was thinking about the great Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead, the front man. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
I am.
He drank and did drugs more or less up to his
death. No longer with us.
He's no longer with us. He died in 2015.
But he did get into his 70s.
Which was surprising.
That's amazing.
He looked 70 in the 70s.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. He never changed much in the last 40 years, really.
We actually, just before you get it, we did just before the episode, we actually looked up the ages of some of the most famous or infamous drinkers and alcohol and drug takers, and quite a lot of them live a long time. Bukowski lived into his 70s. William S. Burroughs lived into his 80s. Mm. Hunter S., well, you know,
he sorted himself out.
You can't drink a gun, can you? If you drink a gun, you're going to go pretty quickly.
You haven't tried gun wine in China.
There's a lot of gun wine victims floating down the Yangtze, though.
Yes. Yeah. No, don't.
I'm not
don't
endorsing it. I'm just saying it's not always the case that if you are like Lemmy.
You're saying it can be done.
Yeah. You can live a full life.
Yeah. It's weird though. It becomes less romantic, doesn't it? Like, what a hard drinker. I lived to 81. Brendan Behan, who was a famous
poet? Am I writer? No.
Irish writer. Yeah. He never not had a drink in his hand from like the age of 8 to till he passed away at 44. I don't know how he had quite
right. That's a good innings, really.
I've read some of his stuff, though. He wasn't alone in this. Irish don't love punctuation. He didn't either. He's one of those when you go around Ireland and they go, oh, Brendan Behan, he used to sit there. Oh, did he? Yeah, every pub I've been to in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. It's probably true, though.
The fact I have, I just always found this amusing because he was in very ill health, but he didn't know why. In his last few months, Lemmy switched from drinking Coca-Cola and bourbon, Jack Daniels, Jack and Coke, for his health, he switched to screwdrivers, vodka and... and orange juice.
Oh, for his health.
For his health.
Because it's vitamin C.
Yeah.
That's right. And so he I just love that. I actually have a little quote here.
So I'm doing wrong.
Hey, that'll do your heart the world of good is vodka and orange juice.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. As he grew older, he used less alcohol and drugs as he suffered from diabetes and hypertension, and he died a few months later. But I just like that he used used less. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Maybe it was the orange juice that killed him.
It probably actually didn't do him any favours.
Yeah.
But here's a little quote, which also by Lemmy. I was going on a heavy Lemmy trip this morning. Mm. He says, there's a fine line between a heavy drinker and an alcoholic. just like there's a fine line between just fishing and standing on the bank looking like an asshole. The line is whether the fuck you know what you're doing when you drink, because if you don't know what you're doing, you just become a terrible, boring drunk. Whereas if you know when to stop, you become an amazing, anecdotal man of the world, which is better than being the guy having a shit in the bathtub. So that's a fact.
What a wonderful fact. I'm going to take that into my life.
Knowing when to stop, which is...
It's not untrue, is it?
No. No. Do you remember the moment when you went, oh, I need to work out how to stop?
For an evening or
I can just remember once, I just remember once, I think it was in my late 20s, I was teaching at this stage and I'm not really a write-off drinker. I did have one famous incident living in Darwin that was inevitable, it was going to happen. My first year of teaching was in Darwin.
Oh, well, you'd need to drink there, otherwise, doing there?
Absolutely. This is the culture that I went up to.
What year? What sort of
1986.
Wow, Darwin.
So
then,
frontierish.
Yeah,
it's rough now.
That's amazing.
1986.
Yeah, we had our school swimming sports, which were the pool was directly across the road from school in Casuarina, and no one had really prepared me for what it was like. But there's like a sloped hill looking down over the pool. And it was just full of families just with Eskies just on it.
Yeah.
And it was like a Thursday night or something. You know, it wasn't even a weekend, just on it. Right. And then...
Well, you sweat so much, it all just comes straight back out anyway.
And then this is sanctioned. I don't know if it was actually in the program. So there was a staff versus parents relay. And the relay, you had to swim with a beer.
Amazing.
And the beer became like the baton.
The education department
Glass.
Would have an absolute
Glass.
Melt in the pool.
Yeah. It was a Catholic school.
Oh, that's even that what a great
sister Pauline. She wasn't happy. I don't know, she was fine. But then we just went back to the staff room afterwards. Like it just kicked on. And there was like people just brought their Eskies back and the staff and parents just kept. So that was the world that I was living in. And so we had a pool cocktail party one night when the staff members threw. And cocktails has never been great for me. That when you're not sure what you're drinking, that's where things go awry.
Yeah.
And so people are making cocktails and I was just smashing. And you drink really fast in Darwin. That's why the hangovers are so brutal.
Mm.
You dehydrate really quickly and you drink fast. It's a terrible combination. And I was drink fit. I'd come out of 3 years of drinking at uni.
Piss fit.
Piss fit. Yeah, I was piss fit. Yeah.
I'd never heard that term until about 5 years ago.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good.
So I had a perforated eardrum from playing footy, and so whenever I swam, I had to swim with earplugs. And so I'd kind of played up to the night, and I had a pair of like vintage kind of Harold Holt kind of bathers. And a colourful swimming cap with flowers on it and earplugs and floaties.
Wonderful.
And that's pretty much how I spent half the party. And I woke up at dawn just lying on a front lawn and I was kind of just looking around, still had the floaties on. They were still intact. There was a pile of vomit next to me that I assumed was mine and I then had no idea where I was and I just stumbled around the neighbourhood and eventually looked over the fence and found where the party was. I found out that I'd fallen asleep in the front garden of one of the kids I taught.
Well, that's
their home.
They're home.
That's a good first year teaching behaviour, really, isn't it?
Mr. Cullen's on the lawn.
I don't think that's a mister. That's still just
an unusual
a child.
Welcome to the neighbourhood.
He doesn't like to schedule parent teachers.
You probably got a bit of respect.
Yeah, they didn't see
the
me.
The Darwinians.
Because I woke up in time. But
And you turned out all right, didn't you? Don't you really?
Yeah, I don't have... Yes, yeah.
So had to relocate to Victoria.
I was a pretty shit teacher in my first year, I must admit. We did a few all-nighters. That was, it was a weird place to start your working life.
Yeah.
So I do believe you started that with when did you learn when to stop? And that's...
Yeah, so...
So
it was because I was
stop
teaching.
Before you pass out in the hedge of one of your students.
Of your students,
That's what I'm taking
that was pretty much it.
If you could change anything, it'd be sort of before the hedge.
Yeah. Stop before the hedge.
Yeah.
I've actually woken up in quite an amazing amount of hedges.
Have you?
Yeah.
In them?
Yeah. I went out on a big drinking spree with Ray Badron. In Canberra. In fact, my first attempt at recording this podcast was with Ray Badron in Canberra.
Without any equipment.
No.
So let's just...
we'd bought a bottle of Nikka from the barrel, Japanese whiskey and some beers before the show, recorded the podcast, did the show, continued to drink, and I have no memory, and then just came to in front of a motor inn in Canberra in the hedge.
Alone, abandoned by a friend.
In the hedge.
Like, I probably should have stopped. A real hedge bottle of whiskey.
Pre-hedge.
If you see the if you're listening and you're drinking and you enjoy it, if you see the hedge, just
pull back.
Give it some distance. Yeah.
Give the hedge a distance.
I do remember during the filming of the merger, which our base was Wagga Wagga, New South Wales, and we had a Saturday night off, and I was with Nick Cody.
Great drinker.
Josh McConville and Faisal Barzi, and amongst others, but that was the kind of the core. And it was the night where we teed off, and it wasn't out of control, but there was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. There's hedges all the way along Baylor Street, like topiary hedges.
Yes.
And Josh McConville was just diving into them and then just
floating.
Kind of planking, but. And then we're all doing it. We're just like putting body parts in as if the hedge was eating us. And
like Homer Simpson.
It was being hilarious. We all woke up the next day with fearful abrasions all over, particularly Josh. Josh, because Josh had committed far better than anyone.
To wearing shorts and singlet.
Just a pierced track here.
I don't think I have any hedge story.
Yeah.
You've no hedge stories.
I'm racking my brain.
You haven't drunk, have you, David?
I haven't really lived.
Do you want to move on to a different plant species?
No,
maybe a Norfolk pine.
Where's the weirdest place you've woken up?
Okay.
Your own bed.
I don't really do that. I don't drink like that. I don't think.
You get home.
Yep. Yeah.
In general, I always get home. And look, in my defence of waking up in the hedge at the motor inn in Canberra, I had got back to the motor inn. It's just that I'd left my jacket in the tour van, which was locked, and that was the key to the motor inn. So I made the right choice, and I had curled up underneath a hedge for a little nap.
Well, look, I did try at my – this was an unenviable thing to do, but I – at my my niece's 21st, this is only about – 3 years ago, I got plovered. I got leathered, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in front of all these children and decided, even though there were spare beds to sleep in, I decided to sleep upright in one of those awkward sort of egg-shaped, they hang. There's like a chair that you can sit in. They sort of look like they're made of cane.
Was this at your brother's house? Upright,
yeah.
I've seen the exact thing that you know what I'm talking about. At your brother's house, yeah.
And I just awkwardly slept in that all morning, like sitting up like a sort of an embalmed dead, like, god or something. And
swinging
just,
too. Just, probably.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But it was talked about for years. It's still being talked about.
Kids were just playing around you.
That's right.
Wow.
But I could have slept on the ground. It would have been a better look.
Yeah.
Well, I am...
Or in a bed.
A bed might have been a lot better.
Behind a closed door.
Yeah, bed would have been a lot better. Many years ago, a friend of mine's 18th, who was 1 year younger than me, which meant that I was very much a professional seasoned drinker by that stage because I'd been doing it legally for a year. I turned up with a whole carton of beer for myself for this 18th and consumed it and
didn't share it.
Oh, no, maybe. There's quite a lot of booze there.
A couple of the boys probably got a couple of
Probably got a couple in. But yeah, I'd brought my swag to sleep in the front lawn. Quite a few people had pitched tents and that sort of thing for this 18th, and I had just my swag. And in the morning, I was nearly at the swag. But I was kneeling, and it's like I was going down for Muslim prayer, butt right up in the air, but my face just on its side on the grass before the swag. I hadn't quite made it into the swag, and I was woken up by the gate opening, and my mate's family birthday was that day. So all of his younger cousins and everything were arriving, and I just woke up to the sound of a woman's voice going, "Don't look at the man." As they were ushered past me.
That should be your memorized title.
Yeah. Don't look at the
don't
man.
Don't look at the man.
Sometimes you're the man, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, you are the man. Yeah. Oh, I think they're talking about me. Yeah.
I think we've absolutely ticked off a lot of memorable drinking moments there. But is there something else for you, Damien, that absolutely sticks out in terms of a moment on the drink that is defining, either positive or negative?
I remember as a young fella, it was while I was living in Darwin, preposterously, while I was away, my closest friends had developed an even more insidious drinking culture.
Insidious, yeah.
And they'd started doing a thing called the 20 beers.
The 20 beers.
Yeah. And again, it was all tentacles led in my youth to stories of that came from my mate Pete Gleason's older brother, Sean, who went to Dookie Ag College. Dookie's in central Victoria near Shepparton. My cousin went there, elder cousin, and it just has this... Ag colleges in general have a reputation for, you know, they have like female branding machines at their 21sts and...
Right.
And or young national party sign-up tables.
What's a female branding machine?
You know, I'm gilding a little, but they have a reputation.
Sure,
these places. And I remember going...
Dookie.
I remember going to Pete's brother's 21st. Pete had a farm family farm up at Strathbogie, and it was just out of control. There were just people with chainsaws, just farming. Because that's the other thing is they're really good with farming equipment.
Yeah.
So when they get drunk, they just start everything up.
Yeah. If I've got to say it, if I'm the first person to say this to you, if you're listening, when you're drinking, stay away from the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Just don't. It's not chainsaw time.
And my girlfriend and I at the time,
really set the scene.
We fell asleep where we could, just under a trailer in the shearing shed, and woke up to Darkie Francis. Rowan Francis actually did stand up for a while. Melbourne, you'll see him on the occasional ad. Lovely fella, but he was wild, and he was just standing above us with a fully functioning chainsaw, just screaming.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a good party night. Is it a good night out?
Memorable.
So that kind of kept. So while I was away in Darwin, my mate started doing this thing called the 20 beers, and they used to make scoreboards, you know, and you tick box off, and we all went away for a weekend because I was home in the middle of winter to a log cabin out in East Gippsland somewhere. And the scoreboard were there, and I just remembered like it became like we were like, oh, I saw him tip some out, but it had become really horribly competitive. And
what did it entail?
And I was being really moralistic, guys, we need to settle down. Oh, 16, but I was still participating.
Yes,
And I remember just thinking, there's something not right here. People were almost coming to blows over points of order about how much we drank. And then I just went out for a walk, and I remember going, oh, it'd be funny if I ended up on the roof. And I saw the house was built into a hill, and there was a drain pipe going from the hill down to the roof or vice versa, slightly on it. I think it was a runoff thing. And I thought, I'll just walk across that and get on the roof. And I got on it and it just instantly collapsed and I fell about 3 metres. But I was so drunk, I just kind of – and I was on a slope. So I just rolled and didn't hurt myself in any way, but also had that moment of, oh, this could have been that moment. You know, your mate who went through a windscreen, he didn't have his seatbelt on because his mate was – it could have been that moment.
Yes.
And that, I reckon that was my moment of just – and I actually kind of went in and moralistically spoke to everyone about this weird culture that had – convened.
You went in there like, boys, I just tried to walk on the roof.
Yes.
Like, you have no idea how bad this can get.
This can get.
I've seen the future.
Guys. Yeah. Guys, I reckon 20 is too much.
Yeah, 20 is too much. I stopped at 17 and a half, I think.
Good on you.
I deliberately, like, made a point of tipping it out.
Good. And everyone just started chanting.
Everyone just kept drinking.
Yeah,
probably.
Well.
Great.
I reckon it gets us to this point, DQ. Ring that bell. It's last drinks.
Last drinks.
It's last drinks in here at the bar.
I'm still sitting on my lemon lime and bitters.
How is it, by the way? How is it?
It's fine.
It's not a bad drink, is it, lemon lime and bitters?
It's a bit more sweet.
Bitters is what I'd say.
You do discover when you're not drinking that you just put alcohol, you just put liquid in your body for no reason when you're socialising.
It's true.
So I tend to just mainly drink water.
Yeah.
So I don't really. I'm
That's
not
a
really
good
a
one.
Soft drink.
It's a good one.
Person, but it just makes me feel like I'm out.
Yes.
To have a lemon lime and bitters.
It's got a bit of fruit in it.
Yeah, the wedge of lime's helping.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? If you could just have one drink, I've been calling it your favourite drink. I don't want to put too much pressure on it, but if you've got one drink left that you can consume.
And it's not like deathbed. It's what, no. It could be that. It could be what comes, it could be, you know, what's the last meal in jail.
Sure.
It could, but it could just be whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
Like what's the one thing, you know.
What's top of the pops?
Barolo.
Hey?
Barolo.
What's that?
It's Italian wine.
Oh, my God. I'm just looking at it.
I was going to predict it before you said it. I was going to say it's going to have to be a wine.
Yeah.
Talk us through that wine. Why is it so good?
Like,
have you?
Like I've been to the town of Barolo, right, where it's from, and I've had it. I went to a taverna in Barolo on Christmas Day where the old winemakers were sitting in the corner. They'd kept it open because Christmas Day and they were old blokes.
Yeah. Why would you be at home with your family? Yeah.
So like all, they call it DOC or DOCG, Italian wines are localised like French wines, the Appellation. So
they're
you
not
can
called
call it, you can only call it a Barolo if it's from Barolo.
Right. It's not called after the grape, it's called after the region.
Yeah. So that area is like not far along is a town called Barbaresco, and you can only call a Barbaresco. Barbaresco is also wine. It's Nebbiolo is the grape.
Yes.
But it's from that area. So it's just, I could have chosen one of four or five Italian ones, but it has it's just beautiful. It's always beautiful.
Is it an easy thing to get?
Is it quite expensive? It's expensive, yeah. Like if you went to the international section of Dan Murphy's, you might find a Barolo. You might, yeah.
But you're going to have to part with some cash.
You're starting at 60, and it's probably not the best one anyway, but they're all good.
Well, good choice.
Yeah.
And
nice.
I think
like
it's our
that.
First, it's certainly our first Barolo, and I'd imagine it's our last.
Possibly,
I don't
sadly.
Think we're going to have another guest that's going to pull out Barolo.
Unless they've listened to this and they want to just get on board and copy.
Might make them stop listening, to be honest. Who was that guy?
I think it's nice.
He doesn't drink, but he likes something.
You've added a touch of
get in one
class
town.
to the podcast, and you've mentioned more Australian country towns than any guest.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I haven't even tried.
Dookie
wasn't surprising to me.
No, totally.
No.
Dookie, not to be confused with also a poo,
yes.
Or the Green Day, the famous Green Day album from the early 90s,
which is named after the poo, not the town.
Well, speaking of Australian towns, you are, as we said right at the start, about to set off on the Wine Bluffs tour. I'd imagine there's all sorts of social media or websites that people can find all the details for that.
You can find us on Facebook, The Wine Bluffs, or Damien Callan and Comedian.
Great.
All the dates are there.
We will tag all of that in it. I've never been disappointed watching a live show of Damien Callan, and so
amazing
get out
performer,
there.
Absolutely.
Get amongst it. Hey, DQ, thanks for drinking with me.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Harley. Thank you, Damien.
Thanks for letting me watch you drink.
You've gone out with your girlfriends, you're dancing with a dude. Take him home cause he's a 10, but in the morning he's a 2. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. You hate this total dick. He hasn't got the faintest clue. Says he liked your latest show. So you get matching tattoos. Yeah, that's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. Meet your girlfriend's dad, but he just looks down his nose. You lost count of all the wines. Then you take off all your clothes. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. Some people say they don't trust the ones who don't drink. But can you really trust yourself after a sesh? I don't think. You're charismatic, popular, hysterical, and wise. Get out the taxi, tumble over, smash your shoulder. In 8 weeks, it's only that you realize. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. You say you don't repeat yourself. You say you don't repeat yourself. You stop everyone in mid-conversation and say, guys, do I repeat myself? They put you in a cab. That's the drink talking. You tell your mate that you love him. He says you're the best, yeah, that's a fact. It escalates till you both plan to chuck it in and open a B&B somewhere in Ballarat. Yeah. Harley Breed, he's a comic, king among men, an impresario. Had the idea to get a venue, charge money, get smashed with his friends, and see if he could call it a show. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking.